It's the Personal Edge Fitness Show, a guide to improved health and fitness. You deserve a successful lifestyle, and Garrett Williamson will show you how. Dispelling the myths of fitness, nutrition, and health, because you deserve to live well. Now, the guide for your journey, your host, Garrett Williamson.
Okay, I don't know if you are surprised to hear me behind this mic. I know I definitely am. This is Garrett Williamson. If you've been listening to the promos, I was actually not supposed to be here. But welcome to the Personal Edge Fitness Show. I'm glad to have you. And I'm actually glad to be here speaking to you. I always enjoy it thoroughly, and we're looking forward to a good show. Show topic is fantastic. It's actually one that we get lots of questions about, and that is we're going to be discussing diabetes today. And I have some fantastic authorities on the subject. Not only a frequent guest with us, Lynn Barnes, a registered dietitian here in Mobile, and also Dr. Claire Carney, general medicine physician here at Alabama Medical Group, is joining us in a few minutes and to share some insights on that particular affliction. And I'm looking forward to covering that. But I don't think we can move forward today without talking about the obvious elephant in the room. And that's the reason I'm talking to you today. I was actually supposed to be out of town. And I think everybody's world has changed a bit in the last 24, 48, 72 hours, 3-4 days, and possibly in some cases in the last hour or so with this outbreak of COVID-19. It kind of feels like we're living in a little bit different world. I've been, as you've heard me say several times on the air, I've been in this business for 29 years now, and I've been through some different crises. Obviously, the financial challenge that we had in '97, the big financial challenge that we had in 2008 here in our hometown, hurricanes, Katrina. What have you? But this is it's a little bit different, a little bit different. I want to tell you a few things that we are doing at Personal Edge. Now, I've told you many times on the air that I'm not a dietitian, nor do I play one on TV. I'm definitely not a physician, nor do I play one on TV, and I'm certainly not an epidemiologist. So I'm not going to go down that particular road, though I've spoken to quite a few in the recent days. That's for sure. But I am talking about what I do know about, which I'm an exercise physiologist, know quite a bit about exercise, and there's some ramifications, obviously, affecting our business, but also, more importantly, affecting our clientele right now. And I want to give you some tips and some things to keep in mind during this hopefully short-lived challenge. I'm sure that we'll get through it. But I'm going to give you some tips as far as fitness is concerned. First and foremost, this is the fitness industry is being very challenged right now because of the outbreak and folks being concerned about cleanliness and being concerned about whether or not to be able to be in groups and what have you. And I know that a lot of fitness facilities are definitely challenged. I mean, of course, we're seeing those things too. But that's the great thing about being in what I call a low volume facility. Personal Edge Fitness is a personal training facility. We do 1-on-1 and 2-on-1 personal training. And on a really busy day, we'll have 60 people come through the facility, but that's across 13 hours. So on average, we have, five or so less people in the facility at one time. So we have the unique ability to be able to not only we have incredibly high standards as far as cleaning is concerned, having two different professional crews come through the facility twice a week, our interns and our staff wiping down equipment profusely. This is why in 20 years we're very proud that we haven't had the common cold break out at Personal Edge. But we also have the unique ability to segregate clients in the facility in different rooms or outside or limited pieces and what have you. So these are things that we're doing. We actually have some clients coming in, but we're of course being overly safe about taking care of our clients and making sure that they're safe. And at the same time, the reason we continue with this is the CDC is still recommending to stay active. And that's one thing that I'm not a physician, I'm not an epidemiologist, but I can tell you that the studies show, the records are showing that being in healthy individuals, even the ones that contract this particular affliction are weathering it well. And so one of the things that CDC is recommending is that you stay active. So you don't want to Not a good idea to just 86 your workout. Not a good idea to just completely lay off. And the reason I say that when you lay off, and you've heard me talk about this when I was talking about muscle growth and metabolism, these different things, that we're breaking muscle tissue is what we're doing when we're exercising. We're breaking it down so that the body builds it back stronger. Well, within 72 hours after a workout, you remember what I told you about the brightest machine that you'll ever know is the human body. Well, within 72 hours of a workout, your body does regular systems checks. And it's basically testing, hey, look, you know that bicep that we were doing all that work with the other day, have we done anything with it lately? I mean, we built some muscle back, and we did something hit the other day and tore the muscle up, which is your workout. Your body built it back stronger. And now your body's doing a system check. Hey, do we really need that muscle? We haven't used it in 72 hours. And that's what's called atrophy. Your body actually starts to break down the muscle tissue and use it for energy. And atrophy begins to set in 72 hours after a workout. Now, you don't lose your entire growth, your entire development, your entire strength. But it does begin. It begins 72 hours after a workout. So stopping exercise completely is not advised. And why? Not just because, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my pecs, I'm going to lose my quads. That's not what I'm talking about. You start to atrophy your muscle, then you're going to start getting your body fat and your muscle composition out of balance. And that makes for an unhealthy body. If you've got an unhealthy body, then you are more susceptible to disease. You're more susceptible to catching something, which is why they're warning people that have immune challenges right now to stay clear away and even self-quarantine. But in this particular situation, we're actually able to train people by segregating them in the facility. We've been doing online sessions for years now. We have people out of state that we actually train, and we can do online sessions. We also are actually going to people's houses after thoroughly cleaning and what have you. So we have a lot of opportunities. And if you're interested in take us up on any of those opportunities, please don't think twice. We want to take care of everybody's health. We want to help out every way we can. So if we can help you with that, please contact us at 251-341-0927. Call us and we'll be glad to help you out with that, or contact me at garrett@personaledgefitness.com. But more importantly, I was thinking about this particular situation, and with all the craziness and uncertainty of this recent interruption, we're confronted with the idea that this has never happened before. And to that I say, really? This nation has seen a lot of challenges. It was launched in 1776 to adversity. It was attacked in 1812 and 1941, and as recent as 2001. Between the years of 1861 and 1865, we actually tried to destroy it ourselves. We've been criticized both foreign and domestic, separated by race, national origin, sickness, and even faith. Financially, we were almost ruined in 1921 when the GDP dropped 26.7%. Now, surprisingly enough, that had happened before. In 1907, it actually dropped 31%. And I'm sure all of us remember. I remember the situation in 2008. We've had outbreaks. We've had outbreaks of smallpox, measles, yellow fever, malaria, polio. The nation shuddered with the onset of each disease and faced closures, economic ramifications, and even quarantine. Folks, we have won wars. We've landed on the moon. We've cured diseases. We've seen Mars. We've reached the heavens beyond even beyond our own solar system. This is an amazing nation. Above all, we are resilient. With every adversity, we were able to heal the nation. Globally, we are in a war, but for the first time in my life, we are all on the same side. As communities, we face localized challenges. Nations have faced attacks from other nations, and there have been regionalized outbreaks of disease, but this time, the entire world is fighting the same foe. You know, this past Sunday was declared a national day of prayer, and I sure hope that idea continues, because I'm certain, as with other struggles, we do not find it difficult to look to our faith for strength. With this, and as with other challenges, we all need to keep in mind an early 19th century saying, which is a saying for all times, "This too shall pass." And as the president once said during one of our biggest challenges, With the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God. This is Garrett Williamson with the Personalized Fitness Show. Come back and join us.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
Okay, welcome back to the show. This is almost like a three-ring circus today because these ladies were not expecting me to be here and are very upset that I'm actually crowding their space because they've got a fantastic show planned. And I appreciate you taking that moment with me at the very beginning, because I think that all of our lives have been changed a little bit, disrupted a little bit. But that last thing I was telling you about, and if you want to see that again, I've actually got that on our Facebook page because I just started thinking about it, and it's the first time in my life that I've seen the entire world somewhat unify. And what I mean by that is that, you know, when we all have the same foe, we all have the same challenge. And I've got to think that pick, I'm not going to name any, but pick two sides that are typically against each other. And I bet you money those two sides both want an answer to this particular problem. So, and as a great nation, we will get through this. We always have. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. So, but like I say, if you want to hear that again, it's on our Facebook page on Personalized Fitness now, at Personalized Fitness on Facebook, obviously. So now, getting to the topic at hand, and this is a real killer, and this is one that that obviously we see a lot, you know, with the obesity epidemic, and you've heard me talk on that on several occasions. My favorite time to talk about that is when I'm talking about the lie of food, because I actually think that helped create the obesity epidemic that we have. But with the rise in obesity, of course, we see a rise in diabetes, and we have quite a few clients that come through that have this challenge that we've worked with and helped them with it. But understanding what it is, understanding about this particular affliction, if you have it or if you know somebody that has it and what have you, that can be kind of confusing. And so that's why we wanted to do an entire show pretty well dedicated to that. And so we're for that. I'm not the authority. I act like it. But, of course, on the fitness side, I see a lot of it, and I'll be handling that part of it. But I'm bringing in a frequent guest to the show that everybody was looking forward to guest hosting, and here I come and stealing her thunder. So, but with me right now is Lynn Barnes, registered dietitian here in Mobile. Welcome to the show, Lynn. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me again.
Exactly. And thank you for not getting mad that I'm actually sitting in this chair. I appreciate you letting me be here today. So
it's okay. It's really your chair.
Well, I act like it, at least. That's for sure. So. Well, Lynn, this is you and I have had talks about this. We've actually dealt with clients together that either were on the edge of being diabetic or sure. Faced with that kind of challenge or what have you. Can you give me kind of a basic breakdown, some of the stuff that you see, some of the challenges you see as far as diabetes is concerned?
Well, I was just talking to our guest that'll be on with us in just a minute about this. It's just something. It's a disease of our lifestyle, obviously.
Right.
You know. 100% preventable, maybe, because it is genetic in some way. The type 2 is,
sure,
but certainly is brought on by, you know, becoming overweight and
right.
Then becoming obese and then being so sedentary.
Right.
So the thing that just upsets me about it, when I do have people that I love and care about or clients
right.
that I have come, you know, to love and care about,
sure.
is that could we have done something different? Could we have intervened at another point and really changed the outcome of this?
Right, right, right. And that's the sad thing to me is that it's something that I can actually, I feel like I can actually see coming on. You know,
you
and that's that. Especially, I mean, doing this. Then, you're far younger than me, but doing this as long as I've been doing this, it's sad because you can actually see it coming on.
Well, the way doctors treat their patients now is they are screening for these types of things, and they're trying to have early intervention and say, hey, you know, your mom, your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents, everybody had this. You know, it's not if but when, perhaps, if we don't do this change or, you know, make this health change or this health behavior is improved. There's testing being done. So we're actually diagnosing people with what we call prediabetes, right. insulin resistant syndrome.
Right.
And that is a grand time to really dig your heels in and try to see if you can really push that back.
Absolutely. Well, and we're going to talk today about like you're saying, prediabetic, people that may be facing those challenges, what they can do, but also people that are in it right now and what kind of changes can you make? You know, I mean, like I tell my clients that are, you know, listen, we don't get this and give up.
No.
This is we get this and dig in our heels and make some changes, like you're saying, which I think is fantastic. So we're going to make this a three-headed monster. Now, this is going to be very interesting. We're going to do this with a couple of different microphones. We're going to try to drive Charlie absolutely crazy with having three people on the show right now. But joining us is Dr. Claire Carney, and Dr. Carney is with the Alabama Medical Group, and she is She was the 2019 Lanyap Mobile Bay Doctor of the Year, which I think is tremendous. So, Claire, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's awesome to be here. Thank you for having me.
Great. All right, before we get into this, though, tell me a little bit, if you would, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, where your education and what have you, and how you ended up here. Besides, I mean, not just in the show and the fact that you lost a bet and had to be on the show, but I'm talking about how you got involved in all this.
So I actually have a PhD from Vanderbilt in chemistry, and then I went on to medical school at South Alabama, and right. I'm an internal medicine doctor. I work at Alabama Medical Group,
yeah,
and we're a multidisciplinary group, so we have GI and neuro and rheumatology as well as internal medicine
right.
and other subspecialties like infectious disease. And so I really am passionate about diabetes, and I'm passionate about actually preventive care in general.
Great. I want to jump all over that, obviously, because that's what this show's about. Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to get on that. But if you don't mind, briefly, because like I said at the beginning of the first segment, we have an elephant in the room here.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's, I'm sure that our callers, and we're going to be opening up the call lines in the next segment at the bottom of the hour. I'm sure that maybe some people have some questions. So they would be very upset with me if I had access to an internal medicine physician and did not bring up our current situation with COVID-19.
Absolutely. I think it's on everybody's mind. I know I'm watching the news and the guidelines coming out from the CDC and from the governor.
Right. Is there something that we can tell people to kind of calm their fears, or some things that we're doing, or what are y'all seeing, or what recommendations would you have?
So I would say, you know, first of all, the clinics are still open, and if you have chronic conditions, you still need to go to the clinic and see them. We have policies in place to keep the clinics clean and free.
Right.
And we are checking people's temperature
sure.
as they walk in the door, so that if they have a fever, they're going to be triaged to the walk-in clinics, which is going to be completely separate.
Right.
And then all the well visits, people that have chronic conditions like diabetes that need to be seen can
right.
come in and see.
Right.
It's really important, the social distancing,
sure.
which is the 6 feet away from each other, no
right.
groups no greater than 10
right.
or more. And really doing your best not to go out there and be in those big groups for no reason.
Right, right.
So going to movie theaters and things like that,
yeah,
and being
sure.
in a group of strangers that are coughing and things.
Sure, sure.
That to me is the biggest thing. And washing your hands.
Yes, absolutely. So exactly. So I had somebody mention that about that. They said, you know, I've always been a clean person. I've always mm-hmm. washed my hands. And everybody said, you know, gosh, I don't think I've ever washed my hands as much as I am now. Everybody's reminding of it. So yes, I'm sure. I had somebody on social media actually reach out and say something about when is the run on the hand cream coming, because we know that's good coming, obviously, mm-hmm. definitely. So, but back to the top of the hand, and Lynn had said y'all had talked a little bit about this too beforehand. Mm-hmm. But can you give us a little bit of background as far as diabetes on that, and either one of y'all, but just I like to start off with definition. I like to start off with, what are we talking about? What is diabetes and what have you? So either one of y'all, I don't know which one wants to jump on this. So please.
So understanding diabetes, you have to understand basically what's happening, right? So the beta cells in the pancreas, this
okay.
the way normal functioning is, right?
Sure.
So the beta cells are what notice that you've got increased glucose in your bloodstream as you're eating
right.
and breaking it down. And those beta cells release insulin.
Okay.
The insulin is the key to your muscles and other cells in the body
right.
to allow the glucose in so that you can get the energy that you need for
sure.
exercise, for example,
sure.
for
sure.
brain function.
Sure.
So when that doesn't work properly, when the beta cells are attacked like they are in type 1 diabetes,
right.
or when there's a resistance to the insulin as you have in type 2 diabetes,
right.
then you're not getting the glucose where you need it, and it's staying in the bloodstream, and it causes damage to the
right.
vessels.
Okay, I got you. All right. Go ahead, please.
And what Well, you know, people who are becoming diabetic, what they feel sometimes is very thirsty, very tired. You know, just the fatigue is amazing. The people that I've known that have, right, you know, expressed that to me, you know, just a lot of they just feel out of kilter, so to speak.
Sure. Okay. And we see that. We see that with people being somewhat lethargic and what have you. So and many times when we see it, we have people come in and especially some of my guys, they're kind of Superman. You know, this is something we need to really look at. This is something we're concerned about. So
some people lose weight. Some people gain weight when,
right,
they're becoming diabetic.
Right. Exactly. So and we're getting close to the end of the segment, but touch on real quickly. The y'all are screening for this now, correct?
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. So anytime you come to a clinic, most of the time they're going to draw some form of blood work.
Right.
We start off like I'll get a blood glucose level, and
right,
it's random. If it's at all elevated, which so normal would be 100 or less, okay,
sure,
somewhere between 60 and 100.
Sure.
And so if it's at all elevated, I go on to get an A1C, which is a hemoglobin A1C, which gives me like a 3-month average of how your sugars are in your bloodstream.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
So once I get that, somewhere between 5.7 to 6.4% of an A1C is considered pre-diabetic.
Right.
When you get 6.5 and above, that is diabetic.
Okay.
So you'd like to be somewhere 5.5 and below.
Right.
To be
right.
normal.
Okay. I gotcha.
So if I get somebody who has, let's say, a blood glucose randomly of 115.
Right.
And then they have an A1C of, say, 6%.
Sure.
That puts them in a pre-diabetic range.
Right.
And that's the moment where I can talk and do lifestyle management with them,
right,
send them to a dietitian, and try to get them going on those preventive measures to decrease their chances of becoming a full-blown diabetic,
right,
and make some major changes in their life so they don't have to be on all those meds.
Great.
And they can change it themselves.
Which is fantastic. And that's one of the main reasons why we're doing this show is because there's the diabetes is a scary word, but there's a lot of hope here. There's a lot of things you can do, and this is where I really want to jump on and attack when we come back. So letting everybody know that we're going to be opening up the phone lines when we come back. I'll give you the number when we come back. Stick around for the show. I'm driving Charlie nuts over here. You're listening to Garrett Williamson on the Personal Edge Fitness Show.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Sorry we ended that last segment so abruptly. I want to let you know that we are opening up the phone lines if you have any questions. And we're running live right now on Facebook. We're running on our Personal Edge Fitness Facebook page. So if you've noticed, if you're watching, I had to kind of adjust the camera because we had to move around a little bit because we've got I was so blessed to have these expertise with me today, and so I wanted to make sure that everybody was on camera and everybody got a microphone, so we have a lot to cover here. But if you're interested in calling in, we have a call and text line. It's the same number, and the number is 251-343-0106. Now, we're talking about diabetes. I'm sure that there may be some COVID-19 questions out there, but we're going to try to stay on that topic. But if you have a question about that or anything in fitness, don't think about giving us a call. Now, you gave us a good background about what diabetes is and what have you, and as I said earlier, I'm talking to Lynn Barnes, the registered dietitian, that's been a frequent guest on the show, and Dr. Claire Carney with the Alabama Medical Group, who's an internal medicine physician. I wanted to ask you, Claire, also, and also want to go from the nutrition side, Lynn, about prevention. I mean, that's kind of what we're talking here. So, Claire.
So to me, my goal for any patient is for them to be healthy on the least amount of medications possible.
Right.
Type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes, I want to do everything I can to prevent them having to be on medication. And one of the ways that I can do that is diet and exercise for a lot of things. This is also true for blood pressure, by the way, cholesterol, but diabetes especially.
Right.
So working hand in hand with a dietitian is key, because it helps you to understand where those sneaky carbohydrates are.
Sure.
And what I mean by that is the carbohydrate, you know, everything goes to sugar eventually, no matter what you're eating. But there are certain things that really contribute to diabetes. And Lynn, I think you could maybe give us some clues on, like, what are the, where are those sneaky foods?
Sure. And I think that's just a really good cook because, you know, everything's low-carb, high-carb, whatever. It's just we make a big mess out of the three macronutrients, which is proteins, carbs, and fats. And back in the day, in the beginning of time, we're just trying to get that balance so that we have the fuel that our body needs.
Exactly.
So, but in the carbohydrate world, the two differences I think that are very important in this population are knowing the difference between a simple sugar and a complex carbohydrate. Sugars, cakes, pies, candy, Coke, Kool-Aid, you know, anything that sugar is a main ingredient in, sweet tea for us Southerners, is a big deal when you're trying to do the things that Dr. Carney just talked about, you know, cutting back on sugars, simple sugars. And, you know, once one does that, once they identify in their life where that is and how they can cut back on it, it's really just an accomplishment, and generally people are way better when they find a replacement. Don't just say, don't drink sweet tea, but what can I drink instead of it? Once we figure that out, people are pretty much, I'll say happy to do it, but they're enlightened and they can make a better choice.
The
other thing that's harder is managing those complex carbohydrates.
Sure.
Fruits, vegetables, whole grains, starches, you know, things like that that we really need. And if one has to be on insulin, that must be balanced because insulin lowers blood sugar. Food raises blood sugar.
Well, I like what you said about that a minute ago, because it's something that you and I have talked about a lot, and I think you probably get tired of me mentioning it, and that is that there's no such thing as good and bad food. We're talking about a different situation here. We're talking about a situation that once you have a consideration like that, you really should be balancing those things. And I love what you said a minute ago. You've really got to balance those things prior to ending up in a condition like diabetes or pre-diabetes or whatever. If you had a balance, many times that you would have that under control anyway. But when you get into this situation, that's when you really need to pay attention to these different things is what you're driving home.
It might be a great time to make sure if someone has told you this is what you have.
Sure.
It's time to get advice from somebody other than your neighbor or
your friend.
Go to the doctor. If she refers you to another healthcare professional, pay that money if it costs you money. It's an investment in your health.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to give you that good information that you need.
And if you have the diagnosis of diabetes, most insurance companies will actually help pay a copay for a dietitian. So there's absolutely no reason if you have diabetes not to see a dietitian. Now, pre-diabetes, I think that's up and coming. We discussed that outside.
Exactly.
So hopefully I can get my pre-diabetics in to see a dietitian without them having to pay a large amount. However, like I said, there's these sneaky foods like peas, I think, are one of them.
Yes.
People think the peas are the greatest vegetable because they're sweet. They taste sweet. So people eat a ton of them and think they're doing really well, but they're actually kind of a sneaky, not so great vegetable. So that's one of those things that I like to make sure they go to the dietitian, tell the dietitian what they're eating. The dietitian can go through it and point out things like, this might be better replaced with this.
Mm-hmm.
Big things.
Yeah, for sure. Right. And, you know, we've also talked about going on foods that come out of your refrigerator rather than your pantry.
Right.
Because
right.
those processed foods that have that, you know, date stamped on them have a lot of preservatives. And sometimes the processing of those foods remove a lot of the fiber and some of the goodness that one needs.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's a very simplistic thing. It's a good visual.
Right.
Go to your refrigerator for your food, not your pantry.
Right. Well, and I like what you said about that. This is something you probably still say this, but you said years ago to me, I mean, it's been a day or two that you told me this, but I'll never forget that the cereal box, a lot of times the box might be better off than the cereal that's in it, what have you. So.
Cereal took a south turn, for real.
Right.
The ingredient list is like three paragraphs.
Exactly.
That's another thing, too, you know, if you're looking for things that have shorter ingredient list, hopefully there's more goodness in those things.
Well, and if you haven't heard it, you can go on to our podcast, the Personalized Fitness Podcast. You can find that Stitcher. You can find it on iHeartRadio, wherever you hear podcasts. But you can go into the whole breakdown we do of the live food and talking about those different things. And Lynn and I actually did a show talking about the breakdown of different foods. And that's why I was talking about the good food versus bad food. And like I say, this is a very different subject. Okay, Claire, somewhere in there, exercise has got to play a part, I'm sure. I mean, I see a lot of that.
It does. And actually, as part of the American Diabetes Association, the preventive measures you need are diet, smoking cessation, which is just for decreased inflammation, believe it or not. That's why they think that stopping smoking actually helps with diabetes. The other thing, big one, is exercise. 30 to 60 minutes a day of moderate exercise is what they recommend. Now, I know nobody has 30 to 60, not everybody has 30 to 60 minutes a day.
Yeah.
But 30 minutes three times a week, I think, is doable for anybody. Getting on a treadmill, going outside and walking, going to a gym, have somebody help you to learn how to exercise.
Sure.
Those things put together, those three things, but especially the diet and exercise, you can beat a lot of your diabetes down.
You know, and not only diabetes, a lot of things, obviously. Yes. So, and I love what you said about the timing on that, because that's something we experience a lot, that you know, though we love everybody coming in, not everybody's got a whole lot of time. So that's why we do the abbreviated sessions that we do, and basically get in, get out, get your exercise done, and get on with your life. And I've mentioned this on the show before. My wife was actually a drug rep for 15 years, and I used to love to go to some of the talks because they dealt with cholesterol and they dealt with blood pressure, because there was a couple of drugs that she was involved with. And they always mentioned the first two things were, to as far as treatment, were diet and exercise. And I would usually put my fork down and say, well, I'm done. Now,
time to go.
Let me ask you, though, both of you, in your practice, I mean, I know how much we see. We see, I would say, probably about 25-30% of our clientele or people that come in are diabetic, pre-diabetic. 75% of the people come to us for weight loss, so that should tell you something there. In your practice, how much do you see of this?
I'd probably say 75% of my patients have diabetes, some pre-diabetes to diabetes.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
It's, and you're in the obesity belt too. So, you know, while the prevalence in the United States may only be somewhere between 7-15% have diabetes,
right?
I think in the Alabama it's about 15%. So, and obesity, we are the obesity belt.
Oh, absolutely.
And those two go hand in hand. So it's really not surprising to me that I see about 75%.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And one of the things I was just looking up as well, it's still on the rise. And
oh,
so
wow.
They're
sad.
Predicted by the year 2030 that number might be 18%. Right. So as we were discussing, it's the decades are rolling back. It used to be a disease of 40s. Now we're seeing 30s. Now we're seeing children, you know, who are having insulin resistance.
Sure.
And,
sure.
You know, what I was going to say, you know, it's big gut, no butt syndrome. So if you see us Southerners, that's, you know, that can even be girls. So if that's something, and not just there, but if you see that that's how your weight is beginning to distribute,
right?
That's something you could be that preventive person to try to stop that.
And there's some blatant signs.
Right.
There, as far as diabetes are, man, we see it with our clientele. And of course, we don't blood test anybody, but we see it through simple HRAs, through simple body fat composition. Is something we start talking to them, asking people questions about. Hey, you starting to feel lethargic? Are you feeling a little different? What have you? And these are the things that we ask them. When was the last time we have it on our HRA? When was the last time you've always saw your physician? You know, what was your cholesterol, your blood cholesterol? And so we're always pushing people for that test. It's sad to me that it's going in that direction. I promise you, folks, the three of us are doing everything we can to definitely make a difference in this. So, touch on real quickly, though. We brought this up earlier, and I want to ask you real quick about the not insulin resistant, but also type 1 diabetes. Just real quick, just to tell us briefly about that.
That's actually an autoimmune disorder where your immune system actually attacks those beta cells that I was telling you about earlier. So the beta cells that help secrete the insulin, the immune system goes and attacks them, kind of like when people have hypothyroidism and it's caused by Hashimoto,
right?
And the immune cells go and attack the thyroid.
Sure.
It's a similar thing. The beta cells in the pancreas are attacked, so they can't do their job. They can't release insulin, so there is no insulin. That is why type 1 diabetics have to be on insulin,
right?
Regardless. Right. And typically you'll find type 1 diabetics really much, much thinner, and the type 2 diabetics are more overweight, because it's sort of a completely different story going on.
Sure, I understand. Mm-hmm. So, well, the I want to remind you, too, the phone lines are open. If you have any questions or text, you can text or call 251-343-0106, and you can also reach out to us on our Facebook page, because we are live there. So this is something you were saying, Claire, you were saying something about you know, referring people to a dietitian and what have you. So, and I know this is something you've seen a lot of in your practice. So what are the first steps you do with somebody that comes to you and they're pre-diabetic or they're diabetic? What are the steps you take?
We have to create some sort of awareness of what's going on. You know, what are you eating? Where are your calories coming from? What's the distribution of that? How's it coming through the day? Like, what are your habits? And so, you know, there's books written, Habits, Not Diets. And I think that's what we have to focus on. Because if it's just about eat this food, eat that food, sooner or later you get tired of that.
Exactly.
So we have to look at just how you're approaching your whole intake.
Right.
Another thing is, are you an emotional eater? You know, are you eating to live, or are you living to eat?
Right.
We got to work on that stuff.
I love it. And that's why I love the work that we, you and I've done together, and that is that we're dealing with lifestyles here. We're not dealing with types of foods. You know, we're not getting anywhere blaming types of foods. No. Let's understand what's going on. Why are we doing this?
And I think all three of us would agree that we're just trying to remove barriers to these people, try to help them understand what's driving their behavior or not, and trying to, you know, massage those things out of their way so they can do what they probably really know that they should be anyway.
Sure, exactly. And that's why I'm saying in the beginning of this that you know, especially preventative or even when we've got something, there's a lot we can do. There's a lot of hope here. There's it's not the quote-unquote death sentence, you know, and the fact that we have it on the rise, we can turn those numbers around.
Definitely. Yeah, you could be the light in your circle of friends that sets that good example.
I love
you know,
it.
So you can step out and people admire and emulate people who are, you know, taking care of their health and taking charge of their health.
And I think if, like you're saying, by us talking about it and being frank about it and getting into these discussions, I want to like you said, lower the barriers. We don't want to take the stigma away from this. It's the same thing that we have when we do in our Catalyst program and about lifestyle changes and being overweight and having obesity. Hey, look, let's take the stigma away from it. This we can do something about this. And diabetes is a fantastic example of that. So we're going to come back. We got another segment. Stay tuned. We're still going to be covering some more ideas about diabetes.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
All right, welcome back. And I'm going to remind you, we're talking about diabetes today. And if you have any questions, I'm Garrett Williamson. This is the Personal Edge Fitness Show. If you have any questions, you're welcome to reach out to us on the phone line. It's also a text line. You can call us or text to 251-343-0106 or you can contact us on Facebook. We're checking messages there at Personal Edge Fitness. We're live there right now. Now, we were talking with my guest, Lynn Barnes, a registered dietitian, been on the show a few times, and Dr. Claire Carney, who's an internal medicine physician with the Alabama Medical Group. We're talking about diabetes. Now, we were talking about the prevalence of diabetes in this area and that, of course, it's on the rise. So what are if somebody hadn't seen their doctor lately? And right. gone and gotten blood tests or whatever. What are symptoms? What should they be looking out for, either for themselves or for a loved one?
Right. One of the biggest things people will notice is that they're tired and they feel like a brain fog. Sometimes they have blurriness of their vision.
Sure.
Sometimes one of the big other things is they urinate more frequently.
Right.
And especially at night. And they're also extremely thirsty. So those are the big symptoms people will notice. And sometimes you get weight gain or weight loss. Actually,
right.
usually we say weight loss is the big one, but I think some people actually experience weight gain as well.
Sure.
Those are the big symptoms to be looking for.
I got you.
One
well,
other thing I've heard
ahead,
is irritability.
Yeah,
you know, being
that's true.
Or grouchy or irritable.
Right, right. Don't tell my wife that. She'll be having me checked out as quick as possible. Charlie's over there laughing. He feels the same way, so definitely. So. But Dr. Carney, when y'all have patients come in, is this something you screen everybody for, or is this something you regularly check in as far as the blood tests or what have you?
Oh, absolutely. So when I see new patients, and pretty much on an annual basis at the very least, I'm always checking for a blood glucose level.
Right.
Always. Because
right.
it's a screening. I mean,
oh,
it's
yeah.
just part of preventive care screening.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I do it every time. And then if I see something abnormal, I go ahead and get the next test to confirm.
Let me just ask you, is it two fasting blood sugars of 126 is diagnostic criteria?
You can do that, but yeah, and you have to do, if you're going to do like fasting, the 2-hour glucose test, you have to do it twice or confirm it with an A1C, which we talked about before, or the impaired fasting, the 2-hour glucose or the impaired fasting glucose level.
Sure.
Okay. What about any blood sugar over 200? Is that still
correct.
True?
Correct. That is still true. Any glucose over 200 with symptoms.
Right.
Again, any of these diagnostic criteria, you have to have two tests. So you have to confirm.
Sure.
You know, every day, your glucose, if you've been given a steroid, if you've been sick, if you've had surgery, your glucose might be 200.
Right.
And you might
right.
have symptoms of hyperglycemia, but you might not have diabetes.
Sure.
That's why it's important to do the confirmation test.
Right. And well, and err on the side of caution. If you've got
exactly.
any of those symptoms, then Yeah, give your physician a call and find out about that. And speaking of which, we've got three people here that as Lynn said earlier, that the this is on the rise, and that really breaks all of our hearts. I mean, we've got plenty of work out there. We're not really interested in this going on the rise, and that we got three people that are very approachable as far as this particular situation is concerned. Just before we get too much farther into this, Dr. Carney, how would they get in touch with you?
So I work at Alabama Medical Group, and the phone number there is 251-414-5900.
Fantastic. Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Lynn, if you don't mind, because a lot of people, I've got a lot of questions about people with dietitian needing a dietitian. Of course, I send them to you. But a lot of people don't know that we have dietitians in this area, and they are approachable. Would you mind sharing how to get in touch with you?
251-510-5099.
Fantastic. Thank you. I didn't want to get too far in the show without saying that. So, again, if you have any questions, please call us at 251-343-0106. A lot of numbers I just threw at you, I know. But this show is also up on a podcast. It'll be up on a podcast on FM Talk 106.5 tomorrow if you have any of those questions. And I'll also put it on our Facebook page. Now, something we see a lot, and y'all, I know y'all see this a lot. No, I see this it's like a badge of honor. Clients tell me all the time, I don't like to take medication. Right. And now the funny thing is in 29 years, I've yet to have somebody come in, you know what I love? I love taking medication. I've yet to find anybody tell me that. Just dying to take medication. And we've heard a lot about side effects and these kind of things or whatever. Tell us something about as far as the medications are concerned. What should people know?
So the biggest thing is being open and honest with your physician, because I'm okay if you're having a side effect and you really don't like the medicine. If you tell me, then I will try to work around that, find a different medication for you. But if you just stop taking it and don't tell me, we're in a pickle.
Right.
Because then your numbers are going to look like you're not improving. And I kind of have a clue that you might be non-compliant,
right.
But it might be that I'm thinking that you're just not eating properly.
Sure.
And not that the medication is an issue. And there are a lot of side effects to a lot of the medicines, but we can work together as a team. And ultimately it's your body and you're putting those pills in your body. And I don't want to force you to do that. So you want to work with me and be a teammate. No, don't be afraid to tell me, hey, I really don't want to do this with medication. I want to do everything I can without medication, and I'll do everything I can to get you there if you're willing to work towards that goal.
Sure.
And the same with if you don't like one of the medicines that I prescribe, it's not. I don't take offense to that. It's cool.
Right.
I can just reiterate that to the audience that I know she means that, because right. It is so difficult to help you if you don't have all the information or the right information. And it's okay. Sometimes you might be okay with medicine and other times you're not. But it's just so important to be honest with your healthcare team so that they can help you in the best possible way.
Right, right. And we liken that to exercise. I mean, I tell every client when we're talking about them, they're first coming in, the fact that we have as many different exercise programs as we do clients. Why? Because if you absolutely hate an exercise, why do it?
Exactly.
I mean, if you don't like lunges, there's squats. There's different ways of doing that. And the medication is no different. That's something I hear quite often. And actually try to, when we're working with a physician, try to share it with them. When somebody comes in and says, you know, they want me taking this, but I'm going to try to stay off of it for 6 months. And
yep.
then why? You've got a healthcare practitioner right here that doesn't work for the drug company and is interested in seeing you made better as far as that goes. So open and honest. I appreciate that. So we were talking about this during the break, and that is that this can be a scary condition like a lot of things that people that we all experience. And people feel intimidated.
Right.
You know, and that's scary. That's scary. Don't want to confront this. You're in good company. There's lots of people that are dealing with this,
mm-hmm.
and we want to get it. Well, like the current situation we've got right now, we want to get it under control.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. So you were asking something a minute ago, Charlie, about elevated sugar and what have you. So and he was telling me that he's not just you, Charlie, but I had somebody else telling me about noticing this with their loved one. So the any hints, because people ask me this all the time about, you know, I've got somebody that's overweight that really needs to see you, Garrett. How do I get him to come see you? That can be a sticky one. Do you ever run into that kind of same deal? They really need to see you, whatever. Any words of wisdom to encourage somebody to actually take that first step or what have you?
I tell you, I think it's very common. I think people don't feel comfortable in the gym. I think they feel like they're being graded at the doctor's office. I think they're afraid, they're embarrassed to tell me maybe sometimes the truth. And I don't really know the answer to that.
Right.
But I think everybody has that feeling that they don't feel, you know, like they're going to be successful.
And do you see that same thing, Dr. Coyne?
I do. And so this is something where you really have to look at a person and read them a little bit and read their facial expressions. I have patients that come in to make a new patient appointment, and we go through the whole shebang, and I know I get the feeling that they're there because they want to work on weight loss, but they're afraid to bring it up.
Right.
So then I bring it up. If I feel like they're comfortable with me, if I feel that connection, then I can say, hey, you know, one of the things we could work on is weight loss. What have you tried in the past?
Right.
And kind of leave it open, because it's not a judgment thing. Everybody has struggled with their weight. I guarantee you everybody has.
I understand that, and I really appreciate you pointing that out. So I'm glad, actually, that we covered that last topic there, because, folks, we don't want anybody being scared to approach this situation. We want to help everybody with it. I want to thank both of my guests and ask both of y'all to come back, because it's been very informative. I appreciate it. Lynn, thank you so much for being on. Dr. Carney, I really appreciate you joining us, and ask both of y'all to come back at some point in time in the future.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Folks, listen, the reason we wanted to tackle this subject is because so many people are affected by it. Don't be scared. If you need any help with that, please feel free to reach out to us at 251-341-0927 or at personalizedfitness.com. We'll help you. We'll help guide you to where you need to go, because that is our passion. Even in this challenge or in any of your health and fitness issues, we are out there to help you live your level of wellness. Thank you so much for joining us today, and everybody stay well.
This has been the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you live a successful lifestyle. Continue the journey next Tuesday at 6, when Garrett Williamson brings you another edition of the Personal Edge Fitness Show on FM Talk 106.5.